Hello, my name is Dr. Vanessa Kimball, and I am a baker. But I'm also someone who has studied and researched the impact of bread on our health for many years. I run the Sourdough School in Northamptonshire, and my specialism is bread and the gut microbiome and the impact on our mental health. But I'm also trained as a nutrigenetic practitioner, meaning I look at the way that bread impacts people according to their genetics. It helps me to personalise bread. And in this podcast, I'm going to be chatting to someone who I hope you are going to find as interesting as I did. What I'd love is for you to listen and think about the bread that you bake, eat, and share with your family. Because bread is a staple, it's our most basic food, and I believe it is the foundation to good health.
Where you're sitting? Mm-hmm. You're sitting in our backyard in Petaluma, California.
And name of your
you have
bakery.
Great teeth.
Thank you. They're all mine and I've never done anything to them other than brush them.
Good. The name of the bakery is Della Fattoria, which means from the farm.
And California is just, I think, is my spiritual home.
Could be. You seem very attuned here. But this is also, you know, right now you're in Sonoma County, which in my view is the Provence of California. This is where everything grows. This is where more cheese is made than any place else in California that I know of. We have a lot of cheesemakers, goat, cow, sheep, all of that. Lots of farms, lots of grapes, lots of apples. So we've got orchards. We have it all.
And the
but
bread?
It's very provincial, and of course the bread. Numbers, a whole lot of small bread baker bakeries.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In every town.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And they, yeah.
Can you come sit close to me, please? Even closer. Sorry.
Oh.
It's even more interesting when you're doing it in two languages and you've got like a translator there and suddenly you're kind
scared,
of like,
Bridget.
Come on guys, this, I know, I don't bite. Oh.
Do you want a translator?
Wait, a translator for what?
We can
Kathleen
no,
or for
no,
me?
No. I was just telling Richard about a job I did in a prison in Milan. And I'll tell you about it afterwards. So I basically got abandoned.
You don't have afterwards. We've got to go in a bit.
tell me about sourdough in California. What does it mean here?
Wait, where did you? How about where you?
Where
started?
You start? Okay,
you're
so
the,
give me your,
in
the
my
original
eyes,
story.
The original.
Okay, come on. Let's hear your story. Where did you start? What's your first memory of bread and sourdough?
My first memory of bread is a long, long time ago, so we don't want to go back there. It's not really that significant. But and bread, I baked bread all my life. But Carol Field has in it a book called The Italian Baker, and that was the real changing point. She did not have fully naturally fermented breads, but she used a pulish, or actually they call it a biga because it's Italian. So that whole experience with a biga and figuring out how that adds flavor and shelf life and having these really fabulous crusty breads that aren't in a pan that are just on the hearth, that whole thing was just let me on fire. And then I quickly figured out, not instantly, but pretty quickly figured out how to do that without using any yeast at all. And that was like I prayed over the bread. I would go, please let this be bread. Please let this be bread, because I couldn't trust that starter. You understand? It's like you have been raised to think that it takes the yeast, and you think it's two separate things. And you don't understand that everything that's necessary to make that bread is in that little piece of dough. And so you actually feel like you have to, you know, fuss over it and pray over it and watch it, and you're just amazed every time it works. At least for me, I was. It would come out, and I would be so delighted it actually worked. So it felt very much like a fairy tale, like spinning straw into gold, because these are the most humble of all ingredients. It's just grain, and it's water, and it's salt, and that's all it is. And yet it makes this most majestic thing that is referred to as the staff of life. It's what people fought wars over. It's what sustains us. It's a very powerful image. And that's all I know.
That's perfect.
That's all I know.
Yeah.
And it's when you're using only three ingredients, it's got to be the best. You have to use organic flour. You need to use the best salt you can find. You need to have pure water. And you need to have talented and passionate bakers. You can't do this with schmucks. Okay?
I've told you that here we use that grey salt. Mm-hmm. You're still using mm-hmm. that here.
Grey, Gernard. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I use.
Yeah. When I can, I don't use it all the time now.
Yeah. Sadly.
Before she was like...
That's all. I wouldn't hear of anything else. Well, chat. You know who changed it? Isaac.
Yeah.
And then we're kind of gradually talking about going back.
We don't use it, but I know that you was always battling with yourself to spend the extra money to use it. Yeah,
I feel like it's important.
Yeah.
And I feel like we'll probably go back to doing that.
It's like a constant battle.
It is. Yeah. Well, I can kind of let it go until I go in there to get salt for the house and I see that awful sea salt in the bin. I go, oh, God. It kind of hurts my heart.
Yeah.
So, tell me, you would bake for the French Laundry, which...
Before that, it was your family.
Mm-hmm.
When you fall in love this way, you can't stop. You compulsively bake bread. You can't stop. I was working in retail. I was selling clothes. I would make a starter. I would make a biga in the morning before I left. I would come home. I'd bake bread. I'd bake bread all night. I'd get up in the morning. I'd take some to work. And, it just became crazy. So you end up giving it away. And then pretty soon I actually stopped selling clothes and I had a little route. I had 14 people that I drove around in my Volvo and delivered bread to.
Ed made you an oven, yeah?
He built me a little, that was my, for my 50th birthday, he built me a wood oven, an Alan Scott oven. And then it really took off. And then Aaron was cooking and he started cooking at Sonoma Mission Inn, and his chef was the son of a baker, and he was very curious about what we were doing. So he asked me to bake bread for an event, and it sold out instantly, so he asked me to bake some more. And then that was before we had the oven. Then we built the oven, and he came and watched what we were doing. And a month after that, we were... It's a little bit out of order, but a month after that, we were baking all his bread. And he called me and he said, can you bake bread for the Sonoma Mission Inn? We use 40 to 60 loaves during the week and 80 to 120 on the weekends. And I said yes. And we had a 20-quart Hobart mixer. So I called my friend
Michelle.
You was
like up all night at that stage, eh? You was like, you was working all
night. Are you kidding?
Oh,
yeah. Slept 2 hours at a time. Yeah. That was it. But a guy came up from a bakery supply.
And in your mid-50s or something, yeah?
I was 50 when we built the oven.
Yeah. To be working all day and all night.
Oh, I know, but I didn't...
It didn't feel like work.
It didn't feel like it because I was doing what I wanted to do. Nobody... You know, work is something you do when you... Someone makes you go...
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah, this is like life.
This is life.
Yeah. This is my life.
Yeah. You're exactly right. It's life.
They say never work around children or animals. So,
well, that's all.
Woof woof woof. I know.
Anyway, it's
good
you
boy.
Know just stuff evolves. You know, it just kind of grew. And then when I will tell you the French Laundry story, because that is a good one. Aaron's girlfriend was working at Stoma Mission Inn with him, and French Laundry was just remodeling. And she decided she wanted to go work there, so she interviewed with Laura. Then she had her interview with Thomas, and Richard knows this story. And so she's with Thomas, and she says to him, "What bread do you use?" And he told her, and she said, "Oh, maybe you'd like some really good bread then." I mean, you know, this is... Thomas wasn't what he is now, but yeah, he was pretty close.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, this is over 20 years ago. So I took Thomas a basket of bread, and he called me, and he said, "I like your bread." And then, you know, then we sort of worked on some recipes together. And then he pretty much floated my... Not floated, but he kick-started my career. It was like... He used the bread, then Meadowood used it, then the Auberge used it, and then it went to Oakville Grocery. And then, do you understand? It was just...
It just snowballed it just into, like, went every into chef this thing. Wanted it, yeah.
Yeah. So we and in fact, the first 4 years, we did not... We weren't listed. If you looked up Della Fattoria in the phone book, there was nothing. Because we didn't...
It
was from our house, and what are you going to, you know?
Yeah. And from your house isn't like from everyone else's house, though.
No, I mean, that was always, you know, that was the kids' playroom. That was our deck. That was our deck.
The bakery, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is a good loaf to you? Describe what you're looking for.
A beautiful, crunchy crust and a lacy, chewy interior with lots of flavor. And I like the flavor to be more nutty than sour, which is why I hate the term sourdough, and probably why you do too. It's not about the sour, it's about the depth of flavor. And it should be very complex. It shouldn't be just one thing. If you're using commercial yeast, you're going to get a flat taste. It's one-dimensional. And in not having that fermentation, it's also not digestible. So as soon as you have something that's fermented, and it brings out all the different complexities in the flour, and you can kind of, it's something that tastes of the place. You know, it's going to taste different. Richard could take my dough and bake it in San Francisco, and it would end up being a bit different than it is here, I think. Yeah. Don't you think
so? Yeah, I think so.
I think it's a bit different.
Yeah.
So that's why I think he and I don't worry so much about people using our recipes or our starter or, you know, I mean, some crazy guy came the other day and one of my people gave him starter, and I just thought, you know, I do give it. I'll give it to almost anybody, but
I'm like that.
I do want to know.
I'm like that at work. If you want starter, please have it. I want you to make bread.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're making bread, I'm happy. Like, please, exactly. Take it, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be your starter. Yeah. It's not going to be our starter after a while.
Of course.
It's going to change. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the more you put it out in the world and give your recipes and give your information, you know, we all need good bread.
Yeah.
We all need good bread. Yeah. And what we don't need, it's no different than using mass-produced food of any kind. None of us need that. We need food that's...
handmade,
that's close to home, that's regional, that has some tradition in it. And I don't know any more than that. Amen.
If you enjoyed listening to that podcast as much as I enjoyed chatting with my guests, then you might like to find out a little bit more about what I do. Well, I teach courses both online and in person at thesourdoughschool.com. I also write regularly for sourdough.co.uk, and I have a couple of Instagram accounts that you might like to follow: Sourdough School, Sourdough Club, and I have a personal one, Vanessa Kimball. I really do love to hear people's thoughts and feedback about, well, the books I write, the podcast, the features, or if you have any questions, don't hesitate to get in touch. Thank you for listening.